This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Your community is our business. Joy 94.9.
It's 17 minutes past 11. You're listening to Saturday Magazine with Nevena, Paul and myself. And our next guest is Ruth Linkins from the Banyans Healthcare.
Ruth, welcome to Saturday Magazine.
Thank you. It's really great to be with you today.
We're really pleased to be having this timely conversation with you. And we're talking Dry July and how the character of the Aussie larrikin can often lead to the Aussie alcoholic. I was really shocked to see that about one in four Australians aged 14 and over is drinking at a risky level at least once a month. What is this telling you about our current drinking culture in this country?
So it's really interesting. In one sense, I wasn't surprised to see those stats that came out, but that's because I've been working in the field for about 7 years and we see a lot of people coming to the Banyans to get help. Interestingly, though, sometimes when we look at that statistic, which you talked about, we think, oh, it's just the teenagers and they're just, you know, learning how to drink. But what we're seeing is that more and more Australians in their 40s, 50s and 60s are really reaching the point where they say, hey, actually, I think that this alcohol use is out of control in my life and I do need some help for it. And, you know, we don't talk about it a lot because alcohol is everywhere, every networking event, every party, every social event. You know, sometimes sitting at home by ourselves, alcohol is very present. And so we almost get used to it. And I think it's really healthy that we're having the conversation like we are right now to encourage people to get a bit curious about it.
There's something just so omnipresent about not only the use of alcohol, how we absorb it in meetings. When I was working in politics, you know, whenever we got together with a group of people or had a meeting, it was usually in a pub type scenario. And what I found in periods that I don't drink is when you tell people you're not drinking, you're met with a strange sentiment, like you're almost questioning their drinking. Do you think that's part of the culture that keeps people from questioning their habits?
Absolutely. I think you really hit it on the head right there. So, you know, we often have people come to the Banyans who are getting help for alcohol. And one of the things they're very stressed about as they get to the end of their treatment program and they're getting ready to sort of go back into their working life is, how do I network without alcohol? And it's a real stress for them. And so I give them a few tips, like, you know, just say, I'm just starting with something like a soda and lime to start with, and people feel a little bit more comfortable if you just say you're starting out that way. You don't have to tell them that you're going to keep going that way. And, you know, happily, there's more and more alcohol-free options available, but it's actually really hard to find them on the beverage list or at any networking event. Very few of them are on the tray that the waiter's carrying around.
Ruth, it's Paul here. Good morning. Just a quick step back. So the staggering headline we talked about was one in four Australians over 14 drink a risky level. What is a risky level? Because a lot of people can be thinking there, thinking, I'll have a glass of wine with dinner, but one, two, three, four, where does that line cross?
Yeah, so interestingly, the more that we're finding out about alcohol and its effect on our health, there's actually no safe level of alcohol consumption. You know, it's a causal risk factor in a range of cancers. And so anything more than a couple of drinks a week, you're going to start seeing negative health impacts, whether it's on your sleep or your liver or, you know, increasing your cancer risk. But we often don't frame alcohol as a health issue. We think about it as, oh, is it a problem or not? So, you know, people can go alcohol free and there's really great health benefits in their life.
Ruth, I was going to ask, is there anything in your research or your practice that you've seen about the LGBT community? We know from other pieces of research that generally we see higher levels of usage connected to social isolation and stigma. But is there anything that you've come across?
Yeah, there's very limited research, unfortunately, but some good news is that the risky drinking has been declining amongst lesbian, gay and bisexual people from the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare's National Drug Strategy. So, look, I think that's a great thing. But there's still quite a way to go because risky drinking is still about 1.5 times more prevalent in that community than in the general population. So, you know, I think that's why I'm so delighted to be with you guys today talking about this, because the more that we can just encourage people to at least think about it and make really informed decisions, they could be making great health choices.
It's just been Dry July and I've got a few friends who are doing it. One thing that they're telling me at the moment is they cannot believe how much money they are saving, because it's just those, and especially in a time of a cost of living crisis, my friend told me I was godsmacked with how much of their salary was left over at the end of the fortnight when they got paid again, just through cutting out drinking and the behaviours that follow. It might be that greasy kebab on the way home. It might be feeling, you know, the emotional support, shopping that you do for yourself the next day when you're not feeling the best. Why does it add up so quickly?
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? So one of our guests who came to the Banyans, we stay in contact with a lot of people, and he sent us a screenshot 12 months after he'd been with us. So he'd been sober for a year, and he'd been using an app to track his sober days and how much money he'd saved. He had saved $20,000 in 12 months by not drinking alcohol.
Wow.
And when you go, what could I do with $20,000? There might be some better things that I'd like to do with that money. So I think, you know, there's great health benefits in reducing our alcohol use, but there's pretty good economic benefits as well.
I think, Nevna, what you're saying is like hit the nail on the head. My partner has done Dry July and has exactly found what you found, is that it's not just the night or the day of drinking, it's the 2 or 3 days afterwards, because you don't eat the bad food because you want to get the sugar and the fat back in your body, but also you miss out on exercising, you miss out on doing some other things, you end up spending more money because you're comfort eating, you're maybe buying some, you know, paracetamol or something to get over it. So the costs just keep going on and on and on. And it's that feel-good factor about actually feeling, feeling normal. And I think a lot of people, Ruth, and you may want to expand on this, you know, almost desensitize through the drinking and never really understand what normal feels like.
That's such a good point. I was talking to someone recently and they said, similar to probably some of the people that you've just reflected on, they stopped drinking for Dry July and then they're like, I might just keep going because I feel really amazing. And it's been well over 12 months now. And they said they feel better, they sleep better, they've lost weight. There's so many benefits. But, you know, this idea that alcohol's present everywhere, we almost don't have the opportunity to experiment with what life is like without it. And so things like Dry July, and I know some people do Keb Fast or October, but it's just a really great opportunity to recalibrate a little bit and think, is this actually something I want in my life? Or could there be a healthier way to live that makes me feel better, saves money, you know, sometimes improves my relationships, improves the way I can perform at work, means I'm not going to get a DUI. There's a range of health benefits when you think about it. I always say I'd prefer to eat my calories than drink them.
Ruth, another reflection that I had from a friend that's currently doing Dry July, because it's still going, is that they woke up on the first Sunday sober, great, didn't know what to do for himself because it had been so long since it wasn't, you know, a hungover on the couch, chuck the telly on, and felt like he was rediscovering that part of his life again. Do you hear things like that all the time?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So people start picking up hobbies that they might have had years ago. And as you said, they've just never had the energy or the headspace to engage in that. And so they're finding joy and, you know, this fullness of life and thriving and doing all these kind of creative pursuits that they weren't doing previously because they were just living at a lower level because they were feeling hungover and tired and then eating all the bad food and missing out on the exercise. And it kind of becomes this self-perpetuating cycle. Whereas if you can change that and get a really positive, productive, creative self-perpetuating cycle, life often gets better.
And another reflection, Ruth, I was going to talk about some practical examples I've been discussing with my boyfriend. His job involves corporate entertaining, so quite often having to go out, go to the pub, go and do meals. And in the last couple of weeks where we've been doing Dry July, he's actually started still doing those activities, but has really discovered the non-alcoholic list of beverages that is available. I know a lot of people don't think it is, but the quality of the beers particularly are very, very good. So, you know, you can go to the pub and have a non-alc beer. When they were going to the restaurant and maybe having a glass of sparkles before, he was doing sparkling water. So, you know, he might still have one glass of wine with his meal, but then the bits that go around the outside of it are all non-alcoholic. And I would implore people to actually go and do a little bit of research. If you go to your local bottle shop and actually start looking at what is available in those non-alc aisles, I think you'll find that you can still engage in that social activity. It just doesn't have to be with alcohol.
Yeah, I've come across some amazing alcohol-free beverage options that will last a while. Etch Sparkling is a great one, which uses Aussie native botanicals. Non is actually a Melbourne-based business, and they're providing amazing wine alternatives. I've actually just ordered some for home the other day. But there's these incredible Australian businesses who are creating amazing alternatives that are really delicious, but so much healthier, and they're alcohol-free.
Ruth, it's been a pleasure chatting to you on this bright and sunny Saturday. We're all alcohol-free, I think, in the studio this morning. Thank you for sharing that, and please keep up the incredible work.
Great. Thank you so much. Great to chat.
Thank you.
You are on Saturday Magazine with Nevena, Isaac and Paul. We've been chatting Dry July. Up next, we've got the fabulous Fiona Patton. We're going to be talking a wide range of topics. But if you've got a question for Fiona, give us a text on 0427 569 949. We'll be back.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture, Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.